It'll be review will be, well, people have recording from last class, so the review they'll hear from the last class because we missed it, no problem. So in any case, so this is where we got to, where we say, not these things. Then the last part of the verse that was saying, what is Atma, it gave the positive one. Before we go into that positive one, he gives also an explanation here in one verse that we haven't touched yet, which is going to explain one other explanation why I'm not these guys, these different ones, and that's page 60 in my book. It's saying, beyond the five sheets, that's the verse where...
71.
Okay. Wow, that book is thicker, huh? Mm-hmm. So it's saying here like this in the Sanskrit, it's saying, madiyam shariram, madiyaha pranaha, madiyam manascha, madiya buddhihi, madiyam ajnanam iti, sve naiva nyayate, tadyatha madiyatvena jnatam, kataka kundala grihadikam, swasmat bhinam tatha panchakoshadikam swasmat bhinam madiyatvena jnatamatmana na bhavati, which is saying in English, just as bangles, earrings, house, etc., known as mine, are other than the knower, me, so too the five sheets are known by the self as my body, my pranas, my mind, my intellect, and my knowledge. Actually, my ajnana was here. It said, I think it's, yeah, it's my lack of knowledge, my ignorance, not my knowledge. They made a mistake here. And therefore, not the self. So this is one other explanation why it's not, because anything that is mine by definition isn't me. Because if something's mine, I can identify with it. Then I say, you know, because I have something very valuable for me, then I feel it's part of me. You know, that thing is missing, that thing is broken, then disturbs me, okay. So, and when something is in close proximity, then I identify with it more easily too. Whatever I identify with closer proximity, I put, but that doesn't mean that that's what I am like this, because that's just an identification. Identification is different from what I really am. You know, identify as a Warriors fan, and then am I real, whatever happens, Warriors really is me? No, but because of my identification, it pushes me up and down. I watch a few of the games, and then there was one game, what they won in the end, right? So after the third game, fourth game, they lost, but they won the whole thing. So the next day, so I watched some of that at home, and co-worker, I said, did you watch the game yesterday? And he said, yeah, what to do? Because he's identifying as a Warrior fan. Right? I watch it, and I said, wow, it's a very good game. This guy's, one of them shot anywhere, throw from him, and he would get a basket from anywhere. It's amazing. I said, he did it was like the highest score anybody did, and blah, blah, blah. I said, he was phenomenal. So for me, I just enjoyed watching. You know, for that person, the identity is like that. So for myself, you know, my body is not, let's say, isn't well now for some reason. I feel, you know, so I'm feeling depressed or whatever, that I have some physical problem, I can't do what I would like to do. Somebody else isn't identifying with the body. Okay, the body's like that, so it's the identity like this. With the Warriors, it's quite an easy one, right? With my body... with my mind, right? My mind, I'm getting maybe a little older, so my mind won't be as sharp as it was. I'll be more forgetful, right? Then that's also an identity. That's also, Swami Padma, who some of you know, he is a great example of this. He would say like this, I'm getting old, so I'm getting more forgetful. So, very good. You can tell me the same joke tomorrow, laugh again, how wonderful. So it's my identity which causes the problem. So if you remember, it's my mind, okay. So my mind is, today we say my mind is disturbed. I say I'm disturbed, but really it's my mind is disturbed. I'm peaceful, really my mind is peaceful. Now I am peaceful. So the identity causes it. And of
what
course, the more so.
What did you say was wrong on here?
It's said here in the Sanskrit,
yeah.
It was saying, madiyam ajnanam. And he, which is Ajnanam, not knowledge, meaning ignorance. And it said in the last sentence, my intellect and my knowledge. But it's my ignorance, not my knowledge.
Oh, so yeah. We have my ignorance.
Okay.
Yeah. Ignorance is in English.
They corrected it. Because that's a later edition.
Yeah.
So somebody found it incorrect.
Okay.
Good.
Got it.
Good they fixed it.
Thank you.
We don't have to contact them. They already found it. Like this. So in this way. So this is another reason why we say why I am not these ones. Okay? Too bad. I think Isabel is that lady who was asking, I think that's her name, who was asking the class, what am I? So unfortunately she's not here. Namaste. So unfortunately she's not here, so she can't, she won't hear, hope maybe she'll hear the recording. Because now we'll get into, okay, if I'm not these, what am I? That's the big question. So it'll get into that. Now, when you describe something, there are two types of ways to describe. One is, instead of the Sanskrit terms I know, but I'll give you the English terms. Let's see how it was said in the English. Because the Sanskrit one I know, the English one, how would you say? Yeah, contextual and non-contextual, just to keep it in English. So you have a contextual description of something and non-contextual. Like, here's an example. I call the center and say, I want to come to the Shivananda Center this evening for Vedanta class. Where are you? So they'll say, where are you coming from? Blah, blah, blah. Say, when you drive and you see the Chinese church, we're on the other side of the street. They say, when you're driving in and then you get to this corner, turn right. When you see the big tree with the flowers, we're the house right next to that. Like this. Something that is, that from that I can point it out. That is, from some context, links to it. Right? Like when I would go to school, because my brother was a few grades ahead of me, so when I would start going to elementary school, they'd say, he's this one's brother. Then finally go to high school, and they say, he's this one's brother. They know because he's already known there. I'm new. Mm-hmm. So contextually. Right, by context. So that's one way. So what we did up to now are the contextual ones. Non-contextuals directly. This is the house. This one. Right? The yellow house. Again, the yellow house. With this number, this address, this number. So what is directly non-contextual like this? So
what are these two things, the contextual and the non-contextual? These are ways of describing
something. So one is directly describing, one is through some context. Because through something you're related to, something you're similar to, something you're near to, things like this. So the tricky thing is Atma really, you can't really point to it with any of these. We use them, but it's really, that's the difficulty is we use them, but it's, contextually, it's used, it doesn't really relate to the things, but very seemingly, so that's why we can use it. We'll get into this if we study further, because it's a subtler topic. So also the non-contextual, we can give some, if you would say, not really attributes, but some pointers that help to, okay, this is what it is, that we can say, because you can't really. Because what happens, everything else is what we call gunas. Gunas are qualities. Everything manifests as qualities. Some quality, some color, some sound, or some weight, something. If it didn't have a quality, how could you know what it is? It has to have some quality to it. That's why space, they would say, oh no, they thought it was just empty. Not, but it has qualities. Now it's known, but Vedanta said, no, it also has qualities because it's an object will have qualities. Atma doesn't have qualities. So that's why it's subtle how to point out. So this is where he's going to discuss this, the non-contextual way of pointing out the Atma. But if you just try non-contextual, it won't work. You need to use the contextual, otherwise it just won't make sense. That's why we focus more on the non-contextual, okay? Because if you just focus on non-contextual, not on contextual at all, we won't be able to get it. It's you know, it's not going to work. Try to explain space in a non-contextual way. You won't be able to. So it needs some context. So that's one. But that's why we started with the non-contextual, with the contextual, now the non-contextual.
So Tatastha
Lakshana and, yes.
You're saying the contextual is pretty much what we've been doing.
That's what we've been doing up to now. Using anatma. Mm-hmm. Using anatma, now we just focus atma.
Okay.
Anatma, non-atma, right? Like this. So that's what he's going to discuss now. He's going to get into this topic. So then the person is already saying, okay, atma isn't all these, what is it? That's what he asks. So he says, what is it? So he says, what is it? Its nature is Satchidananda. Satchidananda, existence, consciousness, bliss. So existence, knowledge, bliss. Each one of them we discuss. So after he says it's Satchidananda, he says, well, what is Sat? Right? Kala trayepi tishtati iti Sat. What is existence? Or what is truth? That which remains unchanged in the three periods of time, in past, present, future, is Sat. So this is one of the pointers, Sat, existence. What happens then is if you look at three periods of time from our experience, because we're looking at as myself as a conscious being, I think of the past. When I think of the past, when is the past for me? Right now. You're thinking of 2 years ago, right? When are you thinking? When you're thinking of it, you're there now. I think of, okay, you know, when I started school, my first day of school and this, and my experience in this. When you're thinking of it, it's present for you. You can only know in the present. And when I think future, okay, once I finish this course, then I'll take the other course, and then after some time, you know, I'm going to travel to this place, and next year I'm planning to go to this retreat or to visit this country, blah, blah. When you're thinking of where it's present. So really, where are they? They're all in the same place. If you can only think of it in present, as from your perspective, only present. Because when you're thinking, so really it's all right there in front of you all the time. And the base, and now the base of every, it, so that's one thing. Experientially, there is past, present, future is a chronological thing, but experientially it's only one thing. So the base of it is just the one thing. The one absolute present, if you want to call it like this. So this is one reason why Atma will say is Sat. Is now, and Anatma will be what's changing. Because what happens, everything else is changing. Atma, myself, is always the same, always there throughout all these periods of time. I'm the same one there. Since I'm the same one there, then Anatma, what isn't self, is object, is always Anatma will always be object, always changing. Every moment, it's never going to be not changing. You know, anything you point out as anatma, the five koshas and the external world, always changing every moment. But subject is always there. The subject is always observing, always same one, constantly like that. So this is one thing about sat. If you remember, we talk about satyam and mitya. Satyam, sat, almost synonymous, pretty much same thing.
I'm sorry, what's synonymous? Satya?
Satyam and Sat. One is existence and being, something like this. It's synonymous, pretty much the same thing. Satyam and Sat. Because we talked Satyam and Mitya, right? The appearance and the appearances and the base, the existence, the truth. So what happens then is, when you look at everything, we said, if I look at the world of gold, then their names and forms, there's necklace, there's ring, and all these other nice things, but those are mitya, the essence is gold, the substance. So if we take the substance is going to be there constantly, where the other one changes. So for myself, what happens if I keep going down, what is the base is going to be pure existence. And pure existence is always going to be there regardless of time and place. Everything else will change, just like the gold isn't changing, its substance isn't changing, just name and form. if we keep going down the base of everything, we'll get to like this, one existence not changing. Okay. We'll put the sat aside for a few minutes. We'll point out a little bit more to clarify it, because after the next one, then we can connect them, and it helps to explain a little bit more about sat. Okay, so let's go to next point, and then we see that. So that's the existence. Next is the jnanam, consciousness. So he says, what is that? He says it's what is chit jnana swarupaha. This is what is consciousness. What it is of the nature of absolute knowledge. One thing, chit or chaitanyam. You can say chit and you can say chaitanyam, consciousness, and they both mean consciousness. Now, what happens? What is consciousness? What is it that is conscious? It means something which is aware of itself and aware of anything else. What is jadam? Jada is the opposite. You have like this chaitanyam, chit. If you chit or chaitanyam, this is consciousness. And then jada, now that we have some people studying the Sanskrit, then this is inert, insentient. So what happens is Atma then is aware of itself and aware of other things. Whatever is jada is not aware of itself or of other things. Like I have this computer, it has two cameras, paparazzi, two of them are on me. One on Skype, one on Zoom, right? Now, it doesn't see me, it just has some image of there's no conscious being behind, the jada. Somebody else is watching their conscious being. But now, if we go again, now their eyes are instruments. The eye that they're watching with is not a conscious thing. The mind is seeing through the eye. The eye is just an instrument. Mm-hmm. The mind they're using to see me is also not a conscious thing. The consciousness behind, the Atma behind, is conscious. Because the mind itself, is not a conscious entity, it's an instrument. So whatever is anatma is jada, whatever is atma is conscious. So I'm conscious being because you're always, that's the base of you. If you're not, the base is the I know that I'm aware. That's the base. You'll say, well, I was asleep for some time, deep sleep, I wasn't aware of anything. You'll say, well, how do you know you were there? I know that I didn't know. I know that I was in deep sleep. I know that nothing was there. Meaning the base of that too is the fact that I'm conscious. The base of seeing things, seeing something or nothing, is that I'm a conscious being. That's the base of it, like this. So this is what one reason why this... Oh, excuse me. So this is the base of the cheat.
Can I ask a question? So
sure.
So the word knowledge, and I'm connecting it to the past when we talked about ignorance, right? The state of ignorance. Am I confusing the two when I'm asking myself how do they relate?
Well, ignorance is lack of knowing is the mind not knowing something. Knowledge in the mental level is I perceive certain thing, I understand something or I don't. But how do you know that you know or don't know? There's some other behind it. Let me explain a little bit about this cheat, and it might help. If it doesn't, then we can discuss some more. Because a few other things about it then is there are two different kinds of knowledge that I will have. One is the specific knowledge. Specific knowledge is going to be I see Doug, so I know Doug is here, right? Then I turn around and then I see Mr. Janaki Raman is here. Now, when I see him, then my knowledge is this, and then just like you copy paste, overwrite, the other one's gone because I don't remember him. I remember him. So one thing is that they don't both exist. One go on, the next one comes. Like a movie, one thing comes the next. That's how we're experiencing. One thing is replacing the other. So this way, different knowledge, different specific knowledges are there. But this underlying knowledge is always there because always I'm knowing them. I know. I know is staying there regardless of all of these things. The same knowingness, if you want to say. Knowingness is there constantly. So this is something constant throughout all the everything that I know. Now, there has to be something connecting them. If there wasn't something connecting, why would I say, I know this, I know this? There has to be somebody behind it, some awareness behind that's connecting it. So somebody will say, well, that one also changed. The knowingness behind changed, the knower behind if you want changed, also. But something has to connect, because otherwise, why would I say, I know Doug, and now I know Mr. Janakiraman? I wouldn't. So you'll say two different ones knew that, it's not the same one, so something has to link them. So if I have knower A and knower A knows Doug, knower B knows Mr. Janakiraman, then whatever connects will say, well, there's a different knower behind that knows those two. Where is it going to end? Then you'll be, you know, then what connects all that? You'll be, there's something they say, infinite regression. If I keep saying, well, there's another gap, so another connection is to be there, it never ends. But there's one continuous knowing there all the time. And it's independent of what I'm knowing, of what the specific knowledge is. This knowingness, independent of it. So it shows that it's that my knowing is constantly there. It's not dependent on the change. What do I know? I know the change. This is what happens in deep sleep. There's no change, so it seems I don't know anything. But after I wake up, then now there was a change. So now I notice it like that. Otherwise, I've even heard, I don't know this for a fact, but I, you know, if there's a strong pain in one place, but it's constant, eventually you wouldn't notice because it's the same all the time. If it doesn't change. That's what I've heard. I don't know if it's factual like this. But in any case, so in this way, the knowingness then is constant. That's all the time. If you remember, everything else changes. The body, we said, it's changing, right? There were six modifications, which we condensed it to three, the growing, graying, going, right? Like this. So this way, it's changing, but I'm aware of the body and of the body changing. I don't see it changing every moment because it's changing slowly, but it is changing all the time, like this, every moment changing. So in this way, the knowingness that I am is always there, the chit, Chaitanya, always there. Now if we go back and connect this to the sat, what he said about sat is that it's something not affected in three. It's beyond the three periods of time. What is always the same in three periods of time? Right? So anything changes, we say that's not it, because it's changing. Now the knowingness is what's there all the time too. Because as a conscious being, knowingness is always there. That's the base. So sat and chit have to be the same. They can't be two different things. Because you can't have two things that are always there. And they're limiting each other. Limiting means some change. So sat and chit are the same thing, because we said what it is that's there, always the same, all periods of time, knowingness, always the same. So that's where we're saying pointers, it's not different things. It's like when I show you my phone, I say, well, this one, it's, you know, it has this shape, it's rectangular, and it weighs 10 ounces. I don't know how much it weighs, I'm just making up. So two different attributes, and those attributes are two different ones. But sat and chit aren't attributes. The point is not two different things. It's the same thing. I am and I know. It's not, I'm knowing this I am. It's the same thing in the end. It's just, you can't separate. It's not that I can separate these two. Okay, because here, you know, there are attributes that can be separate from each other that aren't the same. So these are a few things about the chit, about knowingness. That helps with, I think that helps to explain.
Yes, I think I've got to think about it.
Yeah, yeah, these things, hearing once doesn't do it. It takes a lot, you know, repeating and sharing this, so it takes a little bit, yes. So that's the knowingness, jnana, that atma is also consciousness, one more. Then third one, why ananda? What is ananda? He says it is sukha svarupaha It is of the nature of absolute happiness, absolute bliss. That's why we say bliss. So this is third one that we say, Satchit and Ananda. Ananda, richness. So why do we say Ananda? So here are a few reasons why we'll say Ananda also. When I'm happy, right? Now I'm happy. What happens inside? I'm quiet, I'm with myself. Right? Maybe excitement is different. Just happy, I'm happy. Right? Because when I'm miserable, all this stuff going on in this, I'm miserable about something, right? Miserable about. When you're happy, you drop, meaning I have a desire, I want to get rid of my pain. I have a desire, I want to get somewhere, I want to achieve something. When I get there, now that's gone. I was, you know, suffering because I wasn't there. Now I'm there. So even if it's for a short time, now I'm happy. So I drop the other things, so I'm fine. So now I drop the extraneous things because the desire, the pain, that's something separate from me. That's not myself. Now when I drop it, I'm fine. So now just I'm there, I'm okay. But the thing is, we get the happiness, joy from something, but then we attribute it to that and don't look, don't analyze it. Then it sees, yes, I'm fine here. Now when something else comes, why am I not fine anymore? Because I attribute it to that instead of understanding, well, I'm this one who's constantly there. This thing will come and go, it doesn't matter. That's one thing. Now, one thing is also we have the Ananda Maya Kosha we experience in my deep sleep. Ananda, we're sappy. Because if you think about it, when you go to sleep, you're dropping these identifications. You drop the identification with your body, first of all, right? Like this. We're so afraid of death. But every night going to sleep, it's like a death. You have to drop the body, right? We have to anyway. So it's a good preparation. So we drop it. Then we play around with our sukshma sharira, with our mind and all this. We churn things, right? Then we drop that too. And then we're so happy. So I drop extraneous things and I go back being with myself. There's some ignorance that I don't see it, but I'm much closer to myself. So I'm closer to myself. It's the most wonderful time. I'm bliss. I don't feel limited by anything. All my desires, I drop away. Then when I come back, again, I have to struggle and everything. So again, I'm going away from myself. Like this. So this is other thing. Why I'm Ananda, the deep sleep shows us that. And this is one very important thing when we practice meditation. If I'm just doing Raja Yoga type meditation, just be present. Okay, good, I'm in that state. Very good, good. Uh-oh, now my mind's going, I'm not in that state. Bad. I'm not there. Okay, now I'm back there. Okay, I'm very good. I'm getting a very nice experience, but it's a conditional experience. Instead of learning from the experience, learning, hey, when body not there, thoughts aren't there, I'm there. Meaning, they're contextual, they're just conditional. In certain condition I experience body, mind, in certain not. Meaning it's not me, like certain condition I wear my vest, certain conditions not. So it's not me, it'll be there temporarily. So same body I have, mind I have, these things. Some of the time there, some of the time not, meaning it's not essentially me. But we look at the meditation for that experience, and then it's nice, but it doesn't solve the problems. You can get better at it and have the mind be quieter and this, but still, now I'm identifying with the more quiet mind, but still with the mind. I identify with the state of mind. This is a trap that we get into. And it's very nice, but then what happens when the mind gets a little disturbed? Oh no, now why am I not there now? Like this. So again, it's a very helpful tool, but it doesn't solve everything like this. So just shutting down the mind doesn't solve like this. So this is one other point along with this. Now, why do I suffer from things? I suffer from things that are changing, from change is what I suffer from. If, you know, again, I'm in that nice state, now it changed, that's why I'm suffering. Right? I think that I get somewhere to something now, because of that, now I'll be happy. Now I got my place, my position, now I You know, I got to go where I want to go. I got these things. I think that's a cause for happiness, but it's just that the mind is not, you know, it's not by complaining too much to me now. It's pacifier for a little while, literally like this. Because what happens, that same thing after a little while, my mind changes or that changes and I'm not happy. So the change is making me not happy. Like this, the changing like this. The unchanging is when I'm happy, like in deep sleep. And so unchanging, meaning also it's not being limited by something, because things are limited in by something. I don't want to be limited. I don't like to be limited. Now, my body is limited, my energy limited. As much as I don't like to think so, my mind, my intellectual capacity is limited. We don't want to think like that, but it is. No matter how great a mind or intellect, it's limited too. So what happens then is, but how do I know they're limited? I know them. I experience them. So I can't be limited by them because I experience them. I'm something. And when I drop them, I don't feel limited. So ananda, we also say, is also, we'll also consider it as ananta. Ananta is limitless. Limitless. Because atma, you can't limit by something. Because if I limit it by something, meaning there is something beyond it. Meaning to be limited, it has to be something that changes. You can't have something limited if it doesn't change. It's not possible. Because if it's limited, meaning it was created by something. It has other things too. You know, to rub against in one way or the other things to compare against. It'll start having attributes. Attributes means change. But I, as myself, doesn't change like this, so it's not limited. This is one reason also. We say Atma, and we also say Brahman. These are the two, two names we give to the same thing. We say Atma when we talk about it for myself as an individual. Atma, as self, self with a large S, right, as my true self. We say Brahma or Brahman. Brahma, you will hear it. Brahma, there's Brahma. Brahma, long, is creator. Brahma is the infinite, but you'll see it, you refer to usually in English as Brahman, making it easier on us to distinguish the two. This is the infinite or universal consciousness. Jesus-ness. So it's not referring to two different things, it's just contextual. This is what I'm seeing from perspective of myself. This is when I'm looking at universal reality. Why they're the same? We touch on a little bit from now, but as we continue through later, we'll explain it in more detail. But one of the Brahman also means the most expansive, limitless. It comes from the root brich, which is, you know, to be big, expansive. So it's most expansive, meaning it's not limited by anything. That's one reason, ananta.
Is that referring to God or?
Well, yes, but God, what do you mean by God also is the question. We'll get into it. Because God, when you say is God with some attribute, absolute is God, yes. But as limited, as God that creates the world, no, because for God to create the world, then God has to have some attribute, has to be doing action. So then, it's that too, but it isn't, that's not the essence of it, like this. So in this way, it's...
So this one is more like a universe.
Universal, because universe, again, something changing.
Yeah.
Universal consciousness, individual consciousness, same thing. Mm-hmm. It's the same, because the thing is, otherwise, I'd be, as an individual self, I'm limited otherwise. Mm-hmm. Right? In deep sleep, where's your limitation? There's no limitation. There's just one deep sleep. So what happens then is, so we said ananta, unlimited, but then also we say ananta, unlimited, purna, or purnatvam. Purna is full. It's also full, complete. That's if we look at it from the positive. So So ananta, ananta means limitless. Purana, if I look from positive way, full, complete, because if you think of it, when I'm content, happy, I feel full, fulfilled. I don't feel missing anything. Because then I forget everything, I just rest in myself, I'm fine. So the fullness. So the thing is, though, we run after the conditional fullness, or we don't just take stock and see what's there. There's constant fullness. It's always, but it's because of my, when I look at myself from the five koshas, then there can be conditional fullness, which will always be limited in time and in whatever attribute you want. Just as myself not with these, just fullness, no, there's no, nothing else, there isn't. So there can't be multiple infants, multiple fullness. So that's why it has to be the same thing. So it has to be same, and then again, what we do in the second half of the text, it's shorter, but you know, it's shorter word-wise, but you know, there's so much like this just in the text, so much we'll discuss about it. Then it's seeing about everything, not just myself as an individual, and then the universal, and then it helps to point out what some more pointers why they're the same ones like this. Okay. So one other analogy I'll give, which can be also helpful in some way to for understanding like this, is if you take an appliance and the electricity, like we have the heater here, right? We're very happy there's the heater because it's kind of chilly. So if I take away the electricity, the appliance isn't going to do. The appliance doesn't have the energy to heat on its own. That's going through. Without the electricity, it's just another object sitting there, similar to a living being. But now I have the light on here, and somebody who is not familiar, you know, a little child will say, there's electricity in there, really? And there's electricity there, yes. So he says, oh, there are two electricities. One is in the light and one is in there. They'll say like that, so they don't know. Actually, it's not just children. You know, the person who I go, Swami Tathagatanandaji, who I go and listen to him teaching Vedanta, he came from a small village in Andhra Pradesh. And his mother is simple village person. And so he said when there was first electricity there, that's what her mother thought. The electricity in our house is separate from the electricity in the other person's house. That's what she thought, because how would you know? It's something totally new. So, but in any case, so the electricity is same. You know, so same way, Atma and different people, same thing, like electricity. Now and it's enlivening it, right? This one, the book isn't a conscious, it's not a conscious being because it's not reflected in here. It doesn't have the mind and everything to reflect this. It doesn't have the subtlety like that, so it doesn't enliven in the book, but it reflects in my body mind, so it enlivens me. Now, what happens then is the electricity is something much more subtle than the appliance, than the light fixture or than the heater. So since it's something much more subtle, it's less tangible. So if I go to something more, if you know, electricity is subtle, and then maybe if I go into part of it, it's part of the energy, then maybe the electrons even more subtle, maybe subatomic particles maybe more subtle, you get it more subtle. The most subtle will be totally non-tangible. The most subtle, you won't be tangible. So that's why any other gradation will be some tangibility. Atma, most subtle, no tangible. Now the electricity is more pervasive than the appliances too, because the appliance just here, the electricity is in all the appliances and in all the houses like this. So again, if you go something more and more subtle, more pervasive. So that's why Atma will be the most pervasive. Brahman, all pervasive, that's what it means. So it'll be all pervasive like this. You'll say, well, I feel I'm just limited in this. Yes, the body is limited, the mind limited, yes. But that's just those. It's the electricity isn't just limited to this. But identifying with the appliance, it's just that small one. But here, it's not limited, because what happens is, this is actually a very interesting thing, because when I try to look at these, I look at it from perspective myself as this one, trying to understand that. So from the individual, it seems, how can it be like this? So literally what has to be done, first of all, I'm just this silly, limited person suffering, being thrown out of the world. What's going on? That's how I start. Then I have to come to, okay, I'm an individual and I'm a conscious being, so I have consciousness. That's the second one I took. After I see I'm this individual that has consciousness, then slowly, as I keep looking at it and keep churning over time, slowly I have to shift it to, I'm a conscious being with, you know, temporarily, you know, identifying as this, you know, seemingly identify as this individual. So first I have to see, yes, I'm a conscious, I have consciousness, it's integral part, it's always there. Then I have to afterwards shift and see that's the main one, not that the other one is secondary. This is really how it goes as you keep inquiring. At the beginning, just to, okay, I'm individual, I have consciousness. That's the first one, okay. It takes to totally see that, accept that, that's first step. That's after, like this. Now about consciousness, I'll give you one very nice, these 5 points of this, one of Swami Dayananda's disciples, who gives very, very systematic and nice explanations for things. These 5 points that he gives really to explain consciousness very nicely. He says like this. First of all, consciousness is in part a property or product of the body. That's one thing. Not part of the body, not its property or product. That's first of all. Okay. Second thing, he says, that consciousness is an independent entity that enlivens the body. Independent thing that enlivens the body. That's second one. Just like the electricity is, you know, enlivening these guys. That's second. Then third one is that the consciousness isn't limited to the body. It's not just limited here. Again, like the electricity, we have the, it's not limited to this one appliance. It's much more. So they're not limited. Right. Then the fourth point he gives, the consciousness doesn't cease to exist when the body ceases to exist, when a death. It doesn't cease to exist, because otherwise it's limited to the body. Science says consciousness, they see it as a product of the body. But here we say no, it's the other way around. It's not like that. It's kind of like saying when you hear the radio station, that what you're hearing there is a product of the radio. No, it's manifesting through it. If the radio is not there, it'll still be there, like that. So it doesn't cease to exist. And the fifth point is that after the body dies, you can't connect to it through that same counter. You can't connect to it. Just like the electricity isn't coming in here, the body dies. The consciousness doesn't manifest through there. It doesn't mean it isn't there, but it doesn't manifest through that tool. You know, the light now burnt out. So it's not that the electricity stopped, but it's not manifesting through that one. So it's not manifesting through this body. The body dies. So it just stopped to manifest through them. So these 5 points are very nice, concise explanation like this. Very, very nice how he explains like this. So that's why I study his and take notes, these nice, concise steps and points that he gives. I love very much. That's pretty much.
Okay, I've got just a sort of more general thing that I'd like to ask, which is, it seems to me that where we're going and I've let my mind sort of sift through this slowly as this, and I think this is a limitation of English. In English language is that when we start out and we ask, you know, what is the self? And in English, the self is sort of inherently implies our individual ego, identity, mm-hmm. who we are right now.
Yeah.
And what all this that we've been doing together here is pointing to is that the self is actually really not that at all. And that the self is something that is divorced from the ego, and once the ego comes in at all, it really is just something that is not essential to the self. It's, mm-hmm. it's a, mm-hmm. as we say, it's transitory, it's mitya. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I just find that, you know, that in starting to read this and starting to read the term self, I think it threw me off at the beginning, mm-hmm. because I, with my Western training, just automatically assumed self meant mm-hmm. this right here, right now.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'm saying I'm excited. I feel as I'm getting older, as you were just saying, that I'm no longer so much identifying with being Doug Beckner, the kid from Southern California, yada yada.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more of being, I find myself just feeling like more of an observer and a particle in the universe, mm-hmm. and that is very grateful to be able to enjoy these things and have these experiences, but this shell that I'm in now is not really, is not the pure essence of who mm-hmm. I am. It's pretty cool.
Well, what happens in order to differentiate, then, self with a small s will be the individual.
Yeah.
Self with a large s will be the,
yeah.
the self. Because again, as you say, language, because Atma can mean either one, but usually it means, we mean as the, and there are words to differentiate mm-hmm. in Sanskrit, because, you know, it's packaged together with this very nicely, that's
right.
why. So, but self with the small s, individual, self with the large s is myself as the pure being essence, like this. Mm-hmm. What is. And then the essence of Vedanta then is really that Atma, myself with the large S, my essential being, and Brahman, the universal consciousness, beyond everything, is not two different things. That's the essential thing, which it really goes, that's because there's otherwise there's still myself, and what's the rest of this? I can say it's in my mind, but that doesn't totally cut it. It doesn't talk, just saying it's in my mind, you can go with that, but it's be a little hard to cut, to just cut it with that. That's, you know, why he has the second half of it, where he's discussed individual, and now from next week he's going to be discussing then the universal, microcosm, macrocosm, microcosm. So now microcosm to the macrocosm, and then seeing, you know, connecting them. Having to connect. He did connect a little bit, and I said when he talked about that the there's the devatas, the universal powers working through the different senses and things, but that one we touched on just a little because I said, let's open that when we get to that other part. So any other questions now that we've kind of shifted in that direction?
Last class, you mentioned how when you wake up, you have to consciously distinguish between the states that you've been in, right? The sleep state uh-huh. and I am here.
Yeah.
I tried it, but my alarm clock goes off, so before I can start to think, like I'm already okay. awake.
Well, what you need to do, I'll tell you what you do, is when you go to sleep, if you give a very, just before you go to sleep, give a very clear command to your mind, let's say 5:30 you're getting up, you say, I'm going to wake up. 5:30. That's it. And put the alarm clock 5 minutes later. After you do it a few times, you'll wake up before the alarm clock.
Yeah.
Once you get used to that, then you wake up naturally, and it's easier to do that. Because when it's a jolt awakening up, it's a little harder. Not that you can't do it. Turn off the alarm clock, don't sit a few moments, and just. But it makes it easier to do. That's all. Yeah. What I personally find is when I wake up like that, right from a dream, it's not as easy. When I just naturally wake up just quietly like this, then it's easier to meditate like that. That's what I find. So it depends on how I wake up at the time. Because I do the same thing. I have alarm clock as a backup, and once in a while it wakes me up instead of my waking myself. You know, probably if it wasn't there, I would have woken up in 5-10 minutes anyway, but since I have to get up early and do my meditate stuff and go to work. So I do that, and, you know, so you can. But even if it's alarm clock, turn it off, and just sit quietly and just see, okay. And meditate a minute or two, and then, then you have to go do whatever you have to do.
I have a question about the deep sleep.
Yeah.
So, you know, so when you're in deep sleep, you don't know that you're in deep sleep, right? Because you don't experience the universe. You know it when you wake up.
Yeah, yeah.
But what is it that you know when you wake up? I'm always having a hard time sort of figuring out. So what is it that you know that time has passed?
Well, you know you experienced something. You know that you know you had a deep sleep. You meaning you know I didn't know anything for some time. I was relaxed there. You know that. Meaning you would have to been there for it. You know, because otherwise we couldn't discuss deep sleep. We wouldn't know what it is. So we know there is such a thing, so we know we go through it. But the thing is, it's not because what it is, it's pure ignorance. That's why I can't grasp this is what it is. Just, I didn't know anything. That's
but
all I can say.
But you're not totally there, right?
Well, the thing is, your mind isn't, your gross body or subtle body aren't there.
Yeah.
So they can't grasp it. That's why you can't explain it, because the mind can't access it. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we call it. It's pure ignorance.
Uh-huh.
If you remember, we said that we have, with the snake and the rope, that there are two aspects. Mm-hmm. You can't see clearly, but you can see a little bit, so you can jump to conclusion something else. So there is the avidya and there is vikshepa. There's not seeing something clearly, jumping to other conclusion. Like this is what happens. The deeps, but when it's totally dark, no problem because you don't see the rope. There's no rope, there's no snake, no problem. So deep sleep is like that there's just the pure ignorance. Since it's pure ignorance, there's no jumping to conclusion of something else. So jumping to conclusion is the mind, the intellect, mind, intellect then, otherwise. And actually, this is actually something. Why do I try to figure things out? Why this? I'm not just content in myself. So we start going after everything because I'm just not content there. If I'm content there, okay, why do I need to run after anything? But deep sleep shows that. But in any case, that's why you can't grasp the deep sleep. This is what it is, because it's not a substance, it's just pure ignorance. But you know you were there because we're talking about it.
I mean, is it just that, so I know I was rested, so I know I'm rested. I'm your body.
If the body
is rested.
Your body sort of has a little bit of a, I mean, I find that my body has a bit of a clock in it, you know, sort of built in, you know.
No, but that's the body part. But when you're in deep sleep, the body, you weren't
right.
Identifying with body.
But I guess what I'm saying is that it almost sounds like when you go into a deep sleep, there's a little stopwatch that starts, and when you come out of deep sleep, you realize that some time has elapsed. You don't know what happened.
But it's kind of like the alarm clock is separate from you that woke you up.
Mm-hmm.
The body clock is also something like that. It's
mm-hmm.
not to do with the deep sleep.
Yeah.
But the thing, in essence, what in the deep sleep itself, that's why you can't, you know, like if it's pitch dark, I see, but I don't know what I'm seeing. I just see nothingness, so I see, but I'm not seeing anything. Like that, so, and that's why you don't feel you're seeing anything, right, at that time. So what happens is, deep sleep is similar to that. That's why, you know, ignorance, you can't, it's not a substance. Darkness isn't a substance, so you can't go and start analyzing. Light is something you can analyze. So ignorance, you can't analyze like that. It's not something the mind can. That's why you feel there is nothing, but again, somehow we know. That's going to avidya maya that we'll get into in this. That's why you can't take in the mind and just analyze and know, because mm-hmm. it's not something explicable in the mind.
When you say we know, what do we know? I guess
you know you were ignorant. You know I didn't know anything. You know I slept well, felt very good. That's what you know. I slept well, I didn't know anything. Oh, felt very good. That's all.
Maybe this is a good time to share an experience that I had while I was asleep.
Mm-hmm.
This happened years ago. I was asleep,
mm-hmm.
and then I woke up, but I don't even know how, I mean, I can't remember really exactly how it happened, but I saw the light in me, going in me, light,
mm-hmm.
and my body, it was like another body, going in, like it was coming inside my body and then positioning back again.
Yeah, the subtle
into
body.
My
body.
My physical. That's why I know, well, I have that experience, That's why I have a feeling that when we are in that deeper sleep, we're not really there.
In sleep, your body does, they say subtle body goes out of the body. So experiences like this are very nice to show I'm something more subtle than just this physical being. So in this way, this is very good to know I'm something more than just this limited one. Like that. So that's nice. One thing to be aware of is that Atman, this is not something, an experience, because always there. So the thing is, I can experience that I'm something subtler than the body. I experience something, I'm not the one who dies, I go beyond death. But it's not that I'll, like, okay, now I experience this is myself, because then you try to qualify some experience of that, but it's in all experiences. I'm there in every single experience, no matter what experience it is. So experiences like that are very, very good and very helpful for, you know, like people have near-death experiences. They know they're not going to die. They're not afraid of death in this. But so it's a wonderful thing, but it doesn't totally solve everything, because still it's talking about experiences. You see, there's value in it, but also just to understand it's not... Not to think, now I experience my Atma, because it's not.
Most definitely. That's the body. I mean,
that's the subtle body leaving the physical body. In sleep or something, it covers whatever maybe. In death, it just does something, disconnects, and it goes away. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's pretty much. So, but again, those are still the instruments. It's not.
I understand that.
Yeah. Very good. Next week we continue part two, whatever. So please, make sure register and everything, and we'll continue with this study. And as I said, we'll do this. We'll do the other six classes, finish this text. Then 30th of April, I go away for a few weeks. When I come back, if you guys are interested, we continue studies some more, because for my as long as people are interested, I'm happy to do this. Because I study this anyway, and doing it in this format is very nice. And then because the thing with this, to really get to it, it's regular study of extended period. That's the way to do it. And this text is introduction, and we can slowly do other ones and other things like this. So I'll be here. As long as there's interest in you guys can come, then I'll be happy to continue with this.
Thank you.
Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Satguru Shri Shivananda Maharaj ki Jai. Satguru Shri Vishnu Devananda Maharaj ki
Jai.
One other thing we didn't do at all is any meditations in this, but now we have substance for, so in the other classes we'll do some also like this to get the idea of the nididhyasana, of how we meditate on these things as well. So we'll do that.
I have a question, because I wanted to continue.